Good morning and welcome to Viewpoint, a weekly public service program heard each Sunday morning on WHMI. It's brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. I'm your host, John King.
We're joined in the studio today with Dr. Jason Boyers, the president and CEO of Clery University, also with Nicole Matthews-Creech, the president of the Livingston County Diversity Council. Thank you both for being here. Coming up at Clery University, a candid conversation on race, Thursday, February 28th. And President Boyers, let's start with you about this event. You've got a number of parts of this day that are going to be taking place, looking at that issue of race. What brought this about? What prompted this? What is it that you hope to achieve with it?
Well, you know, we've really focused on bringing speakers who could add something to the conversation here on Livingston County. And we're a business university. And part of this conversation is diversity leads to a stronger economic environment. Last year, we celebrated MLK Day by screening The 13th, a documentary, and having a great discussion. We had the sheriff on our panel. We had people from state and national perspectives. And it went over really well. In fact, we got feedback, do more of this. And so this year, we're very excited about this conversation on race. We've got Rochelle Riley, who's coming. She's a Pulitzer Prize winner for her work with the Detroit Free Press. And we have Lieutenant Colonel Rocky Ruskowski, who has a very different perspective. He's an entrepreneur, but he's often been involved in these conversations and really from the economic side. So we love to bring different perspectives together and bring the community together. We have a more diverse population than we've ever had at Clery. We want this to be a welcoming community for them. And that's why we're thrilled to partner with the Livingston Diversity Council.
And so Nicole, just real quickly, the Diversity Council helping to facilitate this day. How is it that how did you guys become involved? Obviously, we see the connection. But how did you get it rolled into this?
Absolutely. So we got involved really heavily with Clery last year in preparation for the screening of The 13th and really started these ongoing conversations. We now have members of our staff from the Clery University on the Diversity Council board. And it's just a really natural relationship because we're both really focused on education and enhancement of the community. And so we're really pleased to have this partnership.
And we were talking earlier when we were waiting that last year we had to add chairs. We came back to the Johnson Center after the screening panel discussion, didn't know how many people would be there. We ended up having to add chairs. We see a hunger in the community for this type of conversation. And diversity leads to innovation. That's why a business university is involved in this conversation.
So to the particulars of the event, and again, that's the Candid Conversation on Race, Thursday, February 28th at the Clery University Johnson Center. Who is it that you hope will attend, and how can people do that? Do they need to RSVP?
Yeah. So first, they can RSVP by going on the Clery website, the homepage, and they'll see a banner they can click onto. But doors open at 10:30 a.m. If you don't and just want to come. We'll make room. We'll set up more chairs. The event begins at 11 a.m., and we're going to show a film clip, and then we're going to have a lunch table talk activity. And really have a panel discussion on different perspectives of this conversation. It's not a simple conversation, so we want to bring these different perspectives kind of to the table and really talk about what we're all interested in, which is making Livingston County thrive.
So when we hear the word diversity, it just seems like some people hear that word one way and some people hear that word another way. You know, a word that shouldn't be sometimes becomes loaded, I guess. And so the point of this conversation, and obviously inviting people like Rochelle Riley and Rocky Ruskowski sort of, you know, on the both sort of ends in terms of, you know, progressive, conservative, trying to facilitate that and I guess look at that a little bit deeper.
You know, I want to even go further. It's not progressive, conservative. It's not politics. What this is about is creating a community where people are able to live together, thrive together, take advantage of different perspectives, different life experiences. Mm-hmm. I mean, people make this a political issue. It is not. It is at its heart an economic issue. In creating a community, everybody feels comfortable building families around. I just think, you know, people can use loaded words or try to make words loaded. The bottom line is, how can we not only live together, but learn from each other and really understand the perspectives that may be very different from our own that we just that haven't occurred to us. And if you're able to do this, again, why is a business university involved? Business is about relationship. And relationship doesn't happen unless there's understanding. And that's what we hope this conversation will lead us to.
So Nicole, after last year's event, screening of the 13th, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of feedback did you get?
You know, we got great feedback. I was actually just explaining to President Boyers, too, the amount of interaction that we had after that event just has increased the visibility of the Diversity Council and the desire of the community to learn more, to have more conversations, to open up. It's created a safe space for us to have those conversations. And I think that's the one thing that this has been able to really provide without even planning to provide that, providing that safe space for people to have those conversations. And one of the things that I'm really excited about these kinds of events is it creates an opportunity to learn and build skills on how to have this conversation when you don't know what to say. So many times we're caught in these moments where we think, I should say the right thing. I should step up and make this person or help this person understand where I might be coming from or where this other person might be coming from, but I don't know how to say it. And so we don't say it. So I'm really excited to get a little bit of that language and also to provide that space for people to have the conversation.
And I want to add one more thing to that. And this is what I've tried to say throughout is we are bringing different perspectives on this. We don't want one side of this story. There is, again, relationship is almost a circle, right? It's a flow. And there are different perspectives on this. We did that last year, and we're going to do that this year. Our goal is not to give somebody a conclusion. Mm-hmm. It's just to open a conversation.
And so, as you pointed out, you know, being a business university, you know, explaining why the value of this to that end, I guess, do you find that others in the business community, others that the university is connected to, understand this as well, equally, or is it still something that still needs to be reinforced?
So I want to say the false meme is that the business community doesn't get this. The business leaders that I talk to are the most forward-thinking on this. And why? Because that's their future market. They want to reach out beyond their traditional markets. The business leaders get it. They understand the reason. And I think they're looking for ways to understand how they can best communicate to different segments of the population. So the business leaders are I think, the leaders on this, and they don't get enough credit for understanding this and understanding the economic realities. Cleary University, we now have a extension in Detroit. And what I've told our community is we can't be successful hiding out somewhere and not engaging the broader globe, the broader world, mm-hmm. even the greater Detroit. And I would say that for Livingston County as well. We can't be a successful, thriving community unless we're able to reach beyond our current boundaries.
So for the event itself, that day, as we've mentioned, there's a number of different events that are going on. There's also an exhibit that's taking place, as I understand. It's a poster exhibit?
DMJ Studios is hosting that, and it's called Posters on Politics, and they're displaying 24 posters touching on some of today's most pressing political subjects. And I've walked around and looked at the posters. They'll create a reaction in people, but that's what we want. We want a reaction that mm-hmm. allows people to say, oh, I disagree with that, or I really understand where that poster is coming from. And there's no political bent on these except for there's very different perspectives. So mm-hmm. we appreciate DMJ Studios and Donna Jackson, who's the owner of that studio, for sharing her work.
And, you know, the notion, I guess, of disagreement, you know, that's has a negative connotation to it. And yet it seems like this event and events like this are designed to sort of harness disagreement and use them for a broader purpose.
Mm-hmm. So I would say one other thing. We live in a filter bubble. You know, Google understands what you're going to search, so they give you more of what you like, right? The idea is we've lost the ability to not just talk with others, but even to find others who disagree with us, because everything right now is trying to reaffirm what we already believe. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to create Livingston Diversity Council calls it a safe place. I think it's just a good place to begin a conversation with those who you may not hear from in your day-to-day lives. And that's why I think this is so important, because we all tend to live in this filter bubble where we only get things that we agree with or that won't cause us to rethink maybe how we're seeing something.
And again, we should point out, this is a free event for the public.
Correct.
Just need to RSVP, and then you could do that on the Cleary website.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that again at cleary.edu. You'll see the conversation on race, and just click on that. It's a very easy form to fill out. And we just want to bring the community in. We are a university town, so we want to provide this community with some of the benefits of having a university in their location.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nicole Matthews-Creech from the Livingston Diversity Council, and Jason Boyers, President and CEO of Cleary University. Earlier this month, the Brighton Area Fire Authority held their annual Firefighter of the Year program at the Brighton Center for the Performing Arts. WHMI's Tom Tolan was there. He had a chance to talk with Brighton Area Fire Chief Michael Bryan about the award that evening, also about their firefighter recruitment efforts, and about an upcoming millage that voters in the city of Brighton, as well as in Genoa and Brighton Townships, will see on the ballot in May.
Okay, so the Firefighter of the Year is Captain Glenn Bailey. Anything you care to say about him?
You know, Glenn has just been a staple within the organization. Started in 2001. He's going to be retiring this year, and it's really his second career after serving in Indiana. And I don't think you'll find many people that work with him that, well, I can tell you, his station overruled everything and made sure he was not only the department firefighter of the year, but the station firefighter of the year. And I think that speaks volumes to his leadership at that level at the station, what he's willing to do for the men and women that work with him. And he's just really made a difference. He's always been our, he covers a lot of shifts for us. And for a guy that's about to retire, he is one of our busiest people of the organization. And that level of commitment is just hard to find.
Okay, now you're always looking for new firefighters. Mm-hmm. What's your current complement of firefighters? And what should someone who's interested in becoming a firefighter do?
Sure. So we have about 78 firefighters between our full-time and on-duty staff to our paid on-call. So we have 5 fire stations across Genoa City, Brighton, Brighton Township. And if somebody's interested, the best thing to do is go to brightonareafire.com and check out our webpage. We have all the resources and what it takes. We can take anybody who has a relatively clean driving record and is 18 years of age. We get them through the process, and we'll train them from start to finish, and it takes about a year and a half. But
okay, now you have a millage coming up in May.
We do. We have a millage where we'll be going out May 7th. We're going to be asking voters to approve a capital millage. It's a rate of 0.89 mils over 12 years, and what we're really hoping the millage is going to do is build 3 new fire stations. 2 of those would be replacements, one in Brighton Township, the one in the city of Brighton, as well as adding a 6th station. Our run volume is picking up in certain areas within the district, and so we're going to need to add a 6th station, most likely in the Brighton and Chilson area. It's kind of where our data shows right now. And really what we're looking for is not only to be able to construct those buildings, but to be able to maintain them during that time frame. And then I think it's really important for people to understand that our operating millage of 1.5 will be up for a renewal, and we plan on renewing that as well. So the millage, what we really need people to do is go out and vote and help support. We got to get facilities that work to support our firefighters, that give them the facilities they need to train and be ready to respond. And so that's really what we're looking at doing with the millage.
Now, is the 1.5 mil levy, does that expire this year?
No, it actually is going to expire in the last collection would be December of next year. And so it's our anticipation that we're going to ask for a renewal of 5 years sometime next year for that.
Okay, and the 0.8, which is 0.8 something, mm-hmm. right? And how many years is that for?
So the 0.89, the capital millage, the new millage that will be going out on May 7th, that would be for 12 years. And over that time frame, you know, we're estimating it's going to collect about $2.3 million a year, and that'll help us construct these, really, the stations. If you really think about it, we really haven't been able to put a lot of money into our fire stations over the years, just with the recession and kind of recouping. Our stations are in need of some love and some replacement.
Now, the one on Weber Street, I'm assuming that's going to be replaced, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The one on Weber, the board right now is working. We're working to acquire some property in that general area. So we should have the property secured, and we're pretty excited that we'll be able to go forward and put a new facility there to serve those residents.
Because that fire station is pretty inadequate and pretty old.
Yeah, that is probably one of our number one facilities that needs to be remodeled or actually replaced. Our apparatus, in one case, our rescues actually have to back out of the facility, so it elongates all of our responses. It's just not, it was not built as a fire station. And over the years, I think that's what firefighters do, right? We make things work. And nowadays, we know that seconds count to everything. And staff backing up apparatus to get out the door and respond to a house fire or a medical emergency just isn't a great idea. It just elongates everything. So we've got to get that fixed. And that's project probably, that's one of our top projects. And then the other one would be enlarging our facility on Door Road in Genoa Township. That facility, it's a beautiful building. It's got great base space, but there is nothing for training. There's nothing, quarters for staff. There's no facilities inside. It's pretty much just a garage. And we've got to get that facility updated so we can staff. Our intention is next year this time to staff that facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So as our staffing's growing to meet the run demand, the call volume, we've got to upgrade that facility as well.
Is there going to be any money, assuming it passes, for remodeling the downtown Brighton station?
Yeah, so we're going to be touching all of our stations in some way, shape, or form. So what we're looking at is there's no doubt that our downtown station, we've exceeded its capacity. We're running it as a headquarters. It was built to cover the city of Brighton back in the late 70s. The facility, the property, has some limitations being so close to the mill pond in how we can expand, go up, or change. So staff is working on options not only in remodeling, but what we're trying to determine is what's the most cost effective. Do we remodel or do we relocate within the city of Brighton to a new facility? And so we're surveying, working with lots of parties to come up with the best option. So it'll either be a remodel or a rebuild.
Okay, now, assuming, again, that the millage passes, would these fire stations be built or renovated kind of incrementally rather than, I assume, all at once?
We're not going to hit them all at once. So we'd probably hit the top two projects right out of the gate, so Station 34, Station 33. So those would be coming pretty quickly, hot and heavy. And, in fact, we need to start them this year. And then the other buildings would be phased over time.
Okay, you'll have to refamiliarize me again, as you did last year, with which stations the numbers represent.
Sure, absolutely. So Station 34 is located on Door Road in Genoa Township. Our Station 35 is on Chilson and I-96 in Genoa. Station 31 is our headquarters, and that's the city of Brighton. Station 33 is Weber Street, Brighton Township. And then finally, our Station 32 is located up in Brighton Township on Old 23 and Heine.
We're talking with Mona Shand. And what's your official title?
My official title is Field Representative for Livingston County for the office of 8th District Congresswoman Alyssa Slatkin.
I guess let's just start with, you know, what will that entail?
So I will be the Congresswoman's eyes and ears in Livingston County when she is in Washington, as she has to be quite often. So I will be representing her at events, whether they are chamber events, community events, school events, and also listening to constituents here in Livingston County to make sure that their needs are addressed, helping to connect them with the services that the office can provide to address any issues that they have.
Has she given you any specific direction in terms of what your, you know, what your focus is for Livingston County specifically?
Well, she really just wants us to be able to reach as many people as possible. So right now I'm focused on trying to reach out to a lot of our city and township and county officials and build relationships with them. She plans to be meeting with all of them one-on-one in the very near future. She's already started that process. We're also trying to build relationships with our chambers of commerce, with community groups, with pretty much every sort of organization, veteran services organizations, just looking at what can we do to better serve the people of the 8th District.
And there's a whole raft of services that, you know, congressional offices, you know, provide for constituents. And so you'll be the conduit for that, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Now, we do have casework experts who are trained in how to dive into those areas. But I can help connect people in Livingston County with those people. So if you are having an issue with Social Security, the IRS, immigration, the postal service, that sort of thing, we have caseworkers who can help on those topics. And of course, we also want to hear about the good things that are happening in our county, whether that be Girl Scout or Boy Scout awards. If your school group is doing something fantastic, the Congresswoman will be coming out to read to a lot of elementary schoolers in March, with March being Reading Month. So we want to hear about the things that need to be celebrated in the county, as well as issues that we can help address.
So I think when people, you know, think of the Congresswoman, especially, you know, with her profile being on the Armed Services Committee, that there's so many, you know, big issues, big agendas that she's made a part of. You represent the other end of that scale, then. These are the things district-wide that would just be normal constituent happenings.
Absolutely. There are a number of reasons why you might need to interact with your congressional office. And many people are unaware that their congressional office can help on those matters. So we want to make sure that people know of the things that we can provide, and also that they just let us know about the things that are happening. Our congresswoman can only be responsive to the needs of our community if she knows what those needs are and she knows what sort of things are happening. And she's eager to roll up her sleeves when she is in the district and be at those community events. You know, you'll see her at the Walk for Warmth on Saturday morning. She judged a chili cook-off a few weeks ago. So, you know, if you have an event coming up and you think, oh, this might not be the sort of thing that I would invite a U.S. congressperson to, please don't hesitate. This is a different age of Congress. This is a whole new era. And our office is going to function differently than congressional offices may have in the past. And she's very down to earth, and she wants to know about those individual things that are happening in the county.
Now, for you, I mean, obviously you've made a turn into politics with your run for state house last year. But, you know, your background, you came out of journalism. You were a teacher before that. I guess, you know, just, so, you know, what were your thoughts about the congresswoman asking you to do this position?
Well, first of all, it was an honor just that she would ask me to be part of her team. I got to know her through the course of the campaign and just had enormous respect for her, both her background, her experience, and her vision for this area and for our country. So I was extremely honored that she would want me to be part of her team. I feel like it's a really good fit for me because I already do a lot of these things that I'm now going to be doing on her behalf. I'm already at a lot of community events. I already know a lot of our business leaders and organizations in the community. So I think it's a really natural fit, and it will both help her accomplish her goals and help me connect better with the community that I love. While I ran for office, I did that because I wanted to serve the people of this area. And what I know is that being elected isn't the only way to accomplish that goal. So for me personally, this is still a way that I can be of service to the people of Livingston County.
And so for folks now, if they, you know, want to get a hold of you, how can they go about doing that?
So the best way would be through my email. And that email is mona.shand@mail.house.gov.
You've been on the job for a couple of weeks. How's it going so far?
so far it's great. You know, it's really exciting for me to be able to meet with those people that I already know or new people and be able to introduce myself in a new way. And it's exciting to be part of what I feel like is a new way of looking at government and a new way of doing government.
Any final thoughts that you wanted to add?
I don't think so, just that I really hope people will not hesitate to get in touch with us and let us know about what's happening in their communities. I'm going to try to be everywhere I can, but I can't actually be everywhere in the county, so I'm counting on people to let me know what's happening.
And finally today, wanted to tell you about an event this past week talking about the prevalence of kidney disease and the need for organ donors. It was the discussion point at a public information event led by a local teacher who's battling the disease and in need of a kidney himself. Jeff Stimson, band teacher at Parker Middle School in Howell, learned in 2006 he had polycystic kidney disease. Stimson's kidneys currently function at about 15%, and while he's on the University of Michigan's kidney transplant waiting list, that list is several years long. Stimson doesn't think his kidneys can last the expected 3.5 years. He may have to go on dialysis soon because of that. He told his story at Kidney Disease and Organ Donation Information Night held at Parker Middle School Thursday. He says he wanted to educate the community about kidney disease and organ donation, adding that there are many ways to help, especially as some organs can come from a living donor. Stimson has been married to his wife Bernadette for about 25 years with two kids, ages 10 and 7. He tells WHMI the need to spread awareness, and his family and band students are what keeps him going.
It will just increase the quality of life that people could have that need those, not just for kidneys, but for everything. And I think that people need to look into that and know more about it. Getting a transplant would mean that I would have more energy for my two children and my wife and my students and my band family and all the people that I work with every day, just to have the energy to get up and do what I want to do.
Among those speaking at the event was an individual currently on dialysis and the transplant waiting list, a woman who has served as a living donor by giving a kidney to a friend, and two individuals who've undergone a transplant as a recipient. Deb Gustafson is a kidney recipient and a volunteer with Gift of Life Michigan. She says her friend and living donor, Bonnie, is her angel here on earth.
Because it is a miracle. You're giving somebody the gift of life. You can't express fully how you feel. The words just aren't adequate to say thank you. But I didn't remember the day of surgery, but the next day when I did wake up, the first question out of my mouth was, how's Bonnie, and did it work? And they said yes, and it was just like such an awe-inspiring moment.
Representatives from Gift of Life Michigan and the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan also spoke at the event to share further details about kidney disease and how to become a donor. And you'll find those details on our website, WHMI.com. That's it for this edition of Viewpoint, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. Opinions expressed on Viewpoint are not necessarily those of WHMI staff, management, or its advertisers. If you have a comment about today's show or a suggestion for a future segment, call us during normal business hours at 517-546-0860 or send an email to news@WHMI.com. Until next Sunday, I'm John King on WHMI, Livingston County's own 93.5.